Tuesday, April 15th, 1986. The preacher is Reverend David Marth. The sermon text comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The sermon theme is A Noble Task.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The words of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The saying is sure. If anyone aspires to the office of bishop, he desires a noble task. This is the word of the Lord. Believe me, the hymn was picked a week or two ago. And I certainly do not want to offend or consider it anything near a pun that we would sing the tune Onward Christian Soldiers at a very difficult time in our country's history today, and we will pray for that. For indeed, the decisions that our president has had to make and will continue to have to make greatly impact not only our lives and the lives of the whole world, but are indeed need to be God-pleasing. So we pray for that. Making decisions as a president of the United States, as a parent, as a pastor of a church, it's difficult to do. And sometimes you make some very good decisions. And sometimes you fall flat on your face. And a lot of times we approach the pastoral ministry as a day-by-day exercise in decision-making. And it's not. Nor is it, as our text is going to share with us today, simply a job where sometimes things go along very well and at other times they become quite hairy. Where certain days you wake up and can't wait to get to the office and other days become a real grind or horror story. I guess the more I've read in my education and continue to study, the more I'm directed back to some of the more simpler things. And one of them for me, and perhaps it indicates my intelligence, children's books. One of my favorite books is Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And sometimes you have those, whether it's because of something very big coming up, a decision that is going to become a difficult one to make. And you feel like Alexander some days as a pastor. Alexander is a young man for whom everything goes wrong. This is how he describes one of his mornings. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on a skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. Oh, and I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Well, after a terrible day at school, a horrible day at the dentist, and a no-good stop at the shoe store with Mom, Alexander slumps down in his chair at the evening meal, and his troubles continue. There was lima beans, and I hate lima beans. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain. And I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. And when I went to bed, Nick, my brother, took my pillow, the one he said that I could keep, and my Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not with me. It's been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. It happens. And That is why we are drawn back not only through our two lessons today, but in the midst of very bad days. And who knows what's on the horizon for our world, especially our own country. Difficult days of constant study and pressure to produce. Some days when we can't wait to wake up, and others that we wish would never come. We hear Paul telling Timothy, as a young pastor, Timothy, you're going to have some very good days and some very bad days. But remember, you who aspire to be a bishop, yours is a noble task. Somehow the RSV misses it there, because there's so much more to it than that in the midst of good and horrible, terrible days. Kalu ergu, a good work, an excellent task. Well, the one thing that the text would warn us about today in good and bad days is to approach our ministry, the aspiration to the office of the bishop, in any other way but that by which the preface to the Small Catechism calls us to approach our work, our task, our occupation, our office. Our office, it says, has become something different from what it was under the Pope. It is now a ministry of grace and salvation. It subjects us to greater burdens and labors, dangers and temptations, with little reward or gratitude from the world. But Christ Himself will be our reward if we labor faithfully. That's the first thing we learn today, that aspiring to the office of bishop, to be a pastor in Christ's church, is not just a task, and it's not just a job. There's so much more to the ergon. It is a ministry of Jesus Himself, ambassadors of Christ, faithful ministers for whom Christ has died and through whom He now speaks His powerful word and through whom He administers His loving and gracious sacraments. And that's where we miss it, my friends. You'll do it in the parish. We do it here on the staff and on the faculty of the seminary. You do it in your homes. It's a part of our sinful nature. We look at everything as a job, everything as an occupation or task to be accomplished. And sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. And sometimes we have very good days and sometimes they're horrible ones. At times we become very joyful and optimistic, at other times quite cynical and pessimistic. That's where, secondly, we move from past simply the task, as Paul tells Timothy, to that which really signifies the ministry of Jesus Christ. The noble task, as the RSV says, but a word that is filled with so much more, this kalu ergu, this excellent, beautiful, blameless task that God has handed us to do, that He has won for us on Calvary's cross, purchased with His own blood, and handed over to us through the glorious good news of the victory of the resurrection. To be ministers of that kind of reconciliation and hope, to announce that kind of forgiveness. Not just a task we go about. Not just a decision-making process that we happen so often to lead. But that which, and I think this is the element of Kalu that we really want to zero in on, that which contributes to the salvation of human beings. When Jesus says in that first sermon in Matthew 5, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works, your kalu ergu, and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When He tells His disciple, "Don't give Mary such a hard time when she's anointing me." She is doing a beautiful thing. And why Paul would tell Timothy just a few verses later in this third chapter, "Moreover, the bishop, must be well thought of by outsiders. He must have a good reputation. Because we are proclaiming Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That which the early disciples at the time of Pentecost said they could not keep shut up about because there was so much good news to share. Theirs was a ministry of good news. And that's the Epaphras we heard about in Colossians 1 today that Paul talks about. The fellow servant, the faithful minister of the word who helped plant that church in Colossae, who was imprisoned with Paul, who doesn't get the headlines but is true to the Jesus who has purchased him and is excited about being the minister of that good work. Or John the Baptist, who speaks that word of condemnation and points people to one who is to come after, who will gather the wheat into the granary and burn the chaff in the unquenchable fire. And now the mantle is passed to the Epaphrases and the Johns of this day, you and me, and of our age and into the next generation. Why? Not just to go about an occupation. What are you? Well, I'm a pastor. No, but to be the ministers of good works. We don't have to be afraid of that phrase, good works, because correctly understood in this context, and even as Paul says when he says, by grace you are saved through faith. By the grace of God, but what does he go on to say? Created to be his workmanship, created for good works. The kalou ergu. And so ours is not just a noble task, filled with good days, bad days, correct decisions, incorrect ones. Ours is that ministry which Jesus Christ passes on to us to share in the pulpit, to share in the classroom, to share in the counseling situation, to share one-on-one at the bedside, at the funeral home, to take with us back into our own homes, into our own marriages, into our own growing relationships with one another, as brother pastors, as brother saint and sisters in the family of God. So for many of you who are moving into something really special next year, for the rest of us who will be back here, for who knows what the Lord has in mind for us in the upcoming days or for our world, approach it this way. Approach it aspiring to be in the office of the bishop, aspiring to be the minister of Jesus. There is no greater task, but a task, Paul says, that is an excellent one, a beautiful one, a one that is used by God to the contribution of the salvation of his people. There will be no horrible days, no terrible ones. We live in the word shared throughout the scriptures. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. The peace of God that will bring, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.